This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. The McLean County Regional Planning Commission is trying to gaze into the future with your help. The commission has launched a survey asking people to imagine conditions 30 years away. Jennifer Six and Melissa Doherty O'Hara are managing the survey. Six says the survey, conducted every 5 years, is federally mandated and supposed to address more than just potholes.
We haven't done as much as I think we would have liked to. The first 5 years or so are based on the short-term planning that's done by the local governments. And at some level, they have more control over the priorities than the larger scope of things. And that's really a function of, you know, cash flow, how much they can afford to do.
It's hard to envision transportation in 30 years, Melissa, but we know in 10 years we're likely to see autonomous cars. How might that change the road network?
We really have to look towards the road network about how we are going to include all modes of transportation. So how are driverless cars going to relate to bikers? How are they going to relate to people still driving a car? I think there's a lot of new technology out there, and in the industry, they're looking to catch up with the technology to some extent. And so, you know, a lot about that autonomous car is how the network is laid out. Are the streets all connected? Is it an easy way to get to and from the grocery store? Is it easier to get to and from the school that your children are driving? So it's about a connected network to making those driverless cars really work and how they're going to work in our system with already established modes on the road.
Were driverless cars even on the horizon 20 years ago when you were looking?
No, not at all. I mean, the number of things that weren't on the horizon at that point is kind of staggering. And the other thing I think we'll find is that the companies who are really heavily investing in this, and a lot of major ones are going to look at the kind of networking process that is currently used in a non-autonomous version by companies like UPS, which has a very sophisticated algorithm for routing drivers and goods. And that kind of thing is sort of the first step, a kind of analog step towards what the autonomous vehicles might do.
Is it true UPS drivers only turn right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And there's a good, or so they've said, and there's a good reason for that in terms of delay and, you know, staying with the flow. And they have worked this out over decades, I think.
So what are some other things MPOs are going to have to consider in the 10, 20, and 30-year range related to transportation, Melissa?
Moving forward, we're really going to have to look in our modal shift and our sustainable modes. How many more people are not going to be driving their cars alone? More bus trips, more bikers on the road and off the road.
What about actual car ownership? There's some projections that people will maybe not even own their own cars, that they'll just be a system of ride shares.
I think it will be a long time before we get there. This is a country very much in love with its cars and has been for a long time. And getting that to sort of reverse or switch over is going to be tough, certainly in some markets. I think this is a better prospect around here, certainly in the urban area of Bloomington Normal, than you might find, you know, in Southern Illinois, for example.
So we've mentioned bicycles a couple of times. Neither one of you envision bicycles going by the wayside in the next decades.
No.
Why not? What is it, their staying power previous to this?
They're cheap, they're practical, or they can be cheap. They are person-driven rather than requiring fuel, which is always a good thing. And we already see that they are popular. There's no reason why that would change given the trends we tend to see.
So what role do you think they'll play in a future transportation system in Bloomington Normal?
We have the beginnings of a good bicycle network. Part of it, obviously, the Constitution Trail is off-road, but we're starting to play with the idea of using street networks as bicycle facilities as well as cars. They already are. It's just that we need to make sure everyone recognizes that. Bicycles have an enduring history, and they are going to stick with us. There's no question. They may become more refined, but who knows?
And both municipalities have adopted complete street policies, which talk about modal, all modes being
inclusion
in the road network. So both communities are moving forward to be more inclusive in all modes that we're using in our communities.
You ask about primary source of transportation for people. I wonder, with some of these questions, if you're also cross-referencing answers about bikes and buses with the mode of transportation the person taking the survey uses the most. For instance, does using a car as the primary mode of transportation color the answer to this question? Riding your bike, can you get to work or other important destinations safely and in a timely manner?
Often we find people responding with a, I don't actually know, because I don't do it that way. But we want to have this information available to us, even if it's a rejection of the question, because it gives us a sense of how much acceptance there is for these alternate modes, or what we used to call alternate modes, throughout the community. And if we see a change from the last time we did this, which was 5 years ago. So it's not necessarily going to get us a lot of data, but it will give us some comparisons that we think will be helpful. We used a lot of the same kinds of queries to see how much comparison there really is.
So you could go back and say,
yes,
over 5 years we've seen the desire to bike more increase.
Something like that, yeah.
Jennifer Six is the transportation planner for the McLean County Regional Planning Commission. Melissa O'Hara is an associate planner with the MCRPC. Jennifer, how is the economy and a well-maintained, reliable transportation system tied together?
Well, one of the things we've seen in the last couple of years as we've had some economic dislocation take place is the degree to which companies looking to come in and boost our economy simply by existing look at transportation availability, look not only at the interstate system, access to other parts of the state, but also at the local system and how reliable it is, how easy to use it is, whether or not their staff and customers and whomever can reach it. So it's a big element of our look at economic development, and they sort of run hand in hand. If you don't have a system that people can use and that's flexible and that provides alternatives to users, they're going to walk on by.
So how would you rate it now in terms of economic, the transportation working well or working against economic development or the economy?
I think at this point we're closing in on an even position, because part of the difficulty we've had is with maintenance not taking place over periods of decades in some instances. So there's been a lot of unexpected failure that required going back and spending money that had been intended for new projects on maintaining or rescuing the existing street network.
So my first question, where I say people look at the pothole in front of them and say, wow, fix this mess, there's actually some truth to that about how it affects future projects.
The one advantage, though, is that in looking at that immediate problem, and I encountered one this morning when I tried to park my car because the street was closed off all of a sudden, is that it does remind us that we have to think in terms of, first of all, maintaining the system we have and making it usable. And everything else is gravy. Really, the most critical element of our transportation planning at this point is what they call system preservation, which is to say, making sure that the stuff we've already expended resources on, that we've invested in, that we've reinvested in, gets supported before we think about shiny new things that may or may not be helpful.
And is there a reason to continue to do all of that? Is that a question? I know in Omaha, Nebraska, they've actually decided not to pave some residential streets. They've run out of money, so they're just putting gravel down.
I can hear the screaming now, but that would be an interesting experiment in this community. I don't think it would go over terribly well, and we know what political pressure
interesting
means.
You're putting interesting in air quotes?
Always. But yes, it would be, I think, an interesting approach, but I also think it would be difficult to sustain because of the political fallout that would likely result.
I think it's interesting you ask about quality of place. Is this a question about the destination being as enjoyable as the trip to get there, Melissa?
Yes, definitely. I think what we want in our communities are walkable, bikeable, drivable, busable communities. And we really like the idea of having stuff at our arm's length. A quarter mile to get to the grocery store would be ideal. Having my school next door is ideal. Having parks next door is ideal. So this quality of place and thinking about our community and how we move is very important. If you can't get to a grocery store, how does your quality of life deteriorate? So we really want to focus on thinking about the community as a whole. If you're able to bike to work, if you're able to walk to work, your quality of life is going to increase. We know that for every dollar that's invested in trail, we get paid back $3 as a health benefit. So this quality of place has such a comprehensive bubble that it encases that we can't forget about transportation when we're thinking about developing areas of our neighborhoods and our communities, because what is beneficial to somebody maybe not beneficial to the community as a whole.
I also like the symbolic $100 those taking the survey are asked to spend.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the options, and what are you trying to gauge?
What we're really trying to gauge is a sense of future priority. What's always difficult in planning is saying to people, don't think about this week. Think about 10 years from now. How do you envision, how do you imagine that things will be?
Or 2045, yeah. I mean, is what the survey says.
That's true, and we've said about that very long horizon that, you know, some of this is obviously speculative at that point because, you know, we'll all have jetpacks or whatever, which would be nice. But the idea here is to say, okay, in very concrete terms, here's a list of things that are on our sort of short-term set of possibilities. Which do you feel is the most important? show your concern by spending this money.
Can you give me a couple of examples?
Oh, gosh. It's kind of back to some of the same subjects we just talked about, the notion of system preservation rather than building new facilities, about the importance of safety, about a number of other things that give. We're not trying at this point to get into sort of individual projects. It's more about how the whole community functions. And the notion is, okay, the $100 is kind of a symbol for how much actual budget the communities have to do these things. And, you know, take that number, scale it up, and figure out where to invest it based on that. A lot of people will simply default to putting most of it in the thing that they most care about.
So are there any preliminary results? I know when I've participated in surveys on your end, when mm-hmm. I'm conducting the survey, I'm kind of going in and peeking and taking a look every now and then. Are you getting any sort of results or anything you can share at this point?
Melissa has been deep in the weeds on the results, so I'm going to hand it off to her.
Melissa, anything interesting pop out at you?
One of the things I really find interesting is why we've expected an overwhelming number of people to say that their primary mode is cars. We also have a good percentage, what I feel is a good percentage of about 4 or 5% of people that are biking, 5% of people that are taking the bus. And then we have this other category, which is really interesting because we're showing a strong 4% of people saying other, and that they have a split mode, that they bike and have a car. And a lot of times people are using their bikes to get to work and to get to school, but then they're using their cars for more shopping or longer distances is a lot of things that were coming up. So I think that's really interesting when we're thinking about sustainable modes and how we're using it, that we're still at that split. We can see the use for the bike, but there's just some locations we have to use a car for.
Those numbers still, though, are ahead of where national numbers are. Could it be that people that bike or use the bus are predisposed to take this survey and actually just want to have their voice heard, and that's why the numbers are a little higher?
We do try and compensate for that and how the survey is managed. And it's accessible online, but it's also being handed out in paper form at basically anywhere we can find where they will let us stand in the corner and do that. And part of what's included is a sort of demographic profile of the respondents so that we can figure out if we're staying within the general norms of the community as a whole. Part of this is intended to make sure that we are adequately in compliance, if not better, with federal civil rights legislation that has to do with access to transportation. That's enormously important, and it can be very difficult to get enough information because people are understandably hesitant to talk when they're not sure what the ultimate purpose is.
How will the survey actually guide you then? What will you do with the information? I mean, if someone wants the transportation system we have now simply preserved, and that's the leading answer, is that what you do?
It's certainly what we take into account as we look a little deeper into certain areas. For example, we'll have more narrow topic surveys that go into greater depth later in the year and into next year. And the idea of those is to say, okay, you've already indicated an interest in, say, transit. So we're going to ask you much more detailed questions, not a lot of them, but a few, about how you use it, why you use it, whether it's adequate to your needs, what improvements you'd like to see. I hate to say that since Connect Transit has spent so much time in the last couple of years doing lots of massive things. But that's the kind of detail we're looking for in the next round. And part of that will be shaped a little bit by the responses we get from the larger, more general survey. That, in turn, goes into our priority setting process as we sit down with various groups of people who have expertise in these areas and say, all right, what jumps out at you here? What should we be focusing on? And, oh, by the way, can we afford it? And that's, you know, all those pieces kind of fit together. We have to do a very detailed, elaborate, essentially a budget for the next 20 years using standards that the federal government establishes. And that can be an interesting exercise in its own right.
Was there something else you wanted to add, Melissa?
Well, and I was just saying, I think if we don't find out people's opinions, how can we plan properly for the future? Because we hear in the news and in our feeds through Facebook, driverless cars are coming, but the reality is, who is it coming for? I certainly won't be purchasing a driverless car anytime in the next 5 to 10 years. That is highly outside my budget. So system preservation is very important moving forward, that we plan properly for how we're preserving that and moving forward, because all these great new innovative things are coming down the pike. So we've got to find a fine balance between how we're planning systematically over time to allow for system preservation and moving forward with the new and innovative stuff.
And Jennifer?
This also goes to the notion of explaining adequately to the general public what's at stake here and how much it costs and how much they can rely on doing with the resources available.
Planners Jennifer Six and Melissa Doherty-O'Hare with the McLean County Regional Planning Commission speaking with GLT's Mike McCurdy. Six says the survey doesn't include questions about the much-talked-about East Side Highway. A public hearing on that highway, proposed east of Towanda Barnes Road, is scheduled for October 19th. The long-range transportation survey is available at the McLean County Regional Planning Commission website through October 15th. The address is mcplan.org.